Cat Roots.
Hi, I'm Sarah Bianchi.
And this is Let's Go Fly a Kite,
a podcast for living life freely, boldly, and at choice.
It's not about living a perfect life.
It's about living your life.
So welcome, and I'm here with a very good friend of mine. Her name is Sarah. Sarah is actually on the other side of the world from me right now. And Sarah and I met last year in a leadership program. And it's one of those things where friends just kind of grow from places you don't expect. But let me have you introduce yourself. Sarah?
Hey, hi, Mike. Yes, I am at the other side of the world as I live in Dubai at the moment. And I'm 8 hours ahead of you as well now. So it's afternoon here. And yeah, we actually met at the airport, if you remember. That's where it all began.
That's true.
We were heading off to this leadership program we both signed up for without knowing what to expect. And we figured out that we were flying both in Atlanta. And the plan was to meet at the Atlanta airport. And all of a sudden, here I am looking for this guy that I don't really know what he looks like. And we're like, okay, we'll figure it out. And I went up to the first guy that, for some reason, thought it'd be you. And I'm like, hi, are you Mike? And he's like, no. And I'm like, no, no. And then I see this guy sitting on the floor reading a book. And I just knew it was you. And yet I didn't come up to you. I circled around and I was like, okay, maybe he will see me looking for someone and then he will come up. And then eventually we did meet, and that's when it kind of started. And yes.
You know, the weird thing about that, I remember like maybe an hour before we met, I actually saw you walk by.
Really?
Yeah. And it was the same kind of thing. Oh, that looks like it could be Sarah.
Yeah. And I went to have a massage because I'm like, anyway, I'm too early for the time Mike and I decided. So for the first time in my life, I decided, what the heck? I'm at the airport, there's a spa, I'm having a massage because I just traveled all the way from the other side of the world.
That's too funny.
That's what I was doing. You were reading and relaxing. I was having a massage and relaxing my own way.
Perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, no, you're right. That is where the friendship started, was at the airport.
Yeah, and we just gave each other a big hug.
Yes.
Even though we didn't know each other. We didn't, no, we just like hugged. And then, yes. I'm a hug monster. That's one thing that I'm having. A cuddle monster and a hug monster.
Oh.
Yeah, I just love hugs. They make me feel good.
What is it about a hug that makes you feel good?
It's the connection. It's the feeling held. It's the feeling, like, weirdly, strangely enough, you feel love, even if it's with someone that you don't necessarily know. Or there is a certain kind of love, a humankind kind of love, human to human, right? And you immediately feel when a hug is genuine or when a hug is fake. And that's what's missing. But it's that contact, and that both beings being vulnerable in that moment and sharing something that is so deep and like so intimate in a way, but like so meaningful as well. And you almost feel like nothing can go wrong in those 5 seconds or even longer. The longer, the better.
So, human connection is pretty important to you.
It is. It has always been, and I think it's one of the main forces that has been driving my life, my choices throughout. And it's human connection, relationships, love, and believing in it. And all my life, I'm originally from Italy, but I've left Italy 19 years ago to go pursue a dream. And study hotel management. And I left Italy to go and study in Switzerland. And I remember that as a kid, when I was growing up, and people would ask me, what do you want to do when you grow up? My mom tells me that my answer used to be, I want to speak to the world. I didn't know back then what it meant, but I figured now that I'm pretty much on point, having been traveling for the past 19 years and having, you know, lived in Europe, in the States, in Africa, in the Middle East. And that's what I'm doing. And people have always been a key connection. And for the past 9 years, I've been in Dubai, but for the first 10, I've moved from country to country. And the reason of me, the motivation almost every time behind one of my moves was to follow someone, to follow a dream of a relationship, of love, of connection, of people. Even though it might sound that I wasn't a choice, because it was actually someone moving, making the decision to move, and then I would just follow. Later in my life, I realized that it was always my choice to follow them. And I realized what was moving me was, you know, me believing in the relationship or in love or in that connection that I'm talking about. Yeah. And it's been on the most amazing journeys by doing that. It was always a question of, oh, I found a job in this country. I'm going to be transferred here next month. And I'm like, okay. And then a month later, I'll be like, off I go. And that's been pretty much the theme in my life, you know, off I go. I've never really stopped and thought like, oh my God, what's going to happen? What am I going to do? No, it's just like, cool. Let's do it.
That's pretty bold.
Then, yes. That's what people say, you know. People do look at me and some people say, call me bold. Some people just call me crazy. Some people <not. laughs> To a lot of people, I'm courageous. But yeah, I think I've moved 16 or 17 houses in the last 19 years.
That's almost one per year.
Yeah. And countries, I think 8, 9 countries, I lost track. And I would just call my parents, was like, oh, by the way, I'm moving to XYZ.
And off I go.
And yes, I still remember the first time, you know, at the beginning was just within Europe. And then my first time out of Europe, it's when I left to go and live in Kenya, in Nairobi for about 9 months. And again, you know, it was the person I was with at the time. He was born and raised there. So it was going back. I was like, sure, why not? I've never been to Kenya. Let's go. Let's do it. And I loved it. And what made me love it is the people again. It's the place I've had the most difficulties in adapting at the beginning, because I couldn't act or be as free as I used to be, for example, in Europe. You know, I couldn't just go out on a walk at night in the street or take my bicycle and go cycle around. And, you know, there were some restrictions around safety that I wasn't used to. And then I felt a bit choked. And once I got over to that and I understood that they were there actually for me, for my safety, and it was part of this new experience I was living, I just loved it. And I started connecting with the people, with the culture, and with their heart, with how welcoming they are, how warm they are, and how it doesn't matter even if they're really poor, they're still willing and able to share things with you. And it was just amazing.
I find people amazing regardless of where you go. Yeah. And even in places where you think safety is an issue. I've never been to Kenya. Yeah. But in places where you think safety can be an issue and should I be walking down this street at night and that kind of thing, there's actually so many good people out there if we just take the time to stop and connect with them.
Correct. There are. And this makes me think of our other road trip experience that, you know, you and I went on a road trip in January, you know, from Canada down to North Carolina and then back up. And on the way back, if you remember, it was my birthday, my 40th birthday. And a common friend challenged me to a selfie challenge. And basically it was about, she wanted to have 40 selfies that I would take with 40 strangers that we meet along the way, in petrol stations, restaurants, wherever we stopped, right?
Yes.
It was just so much fun. I didn't get to 40, but that doesn't matter. I got to 14. But connecting with these people was total strangers, and I would just go up with a smile and say, hey, it's my birthday, and I have this thing, you know, a challenge to take a selfie with people. Would you mind? And I don't think not a single person said no, right?
Correct. Everybody said yes.
Yes, everyone was willing to play.
There was that one... those two guys at the gas station who were resistant, but they did.
They did. They were resisting. They weren't sure. They thought it was like, oh, you know. And then at the end, they did it. And they even cracked half a smile. And yes. And yes. And everyone, you know, it was young people, older people, you know, men, women, kids, everyone. It was just beautiful. So there's always something in connecting with people, and that it's always an experience and it's always enriching.
If you were to share one thought with the world about connecting with people, what would that be?
Do it! Stop even thinking about it. Just do it, do it, do it. Connect, talk, get off that damn smartphone of yours when you're in the tube or at the on a plane or anywhere you are. Look around. There are humans. Everyone has a story to share. Everyone has something to say. Everyone is, you know, might be willing to connect, and you never know what might come up. And even if it's a 30 seconds interaction, it might just bring someone a smile. It might bring you a smile on a day that you were feeling, you know, all crappy. So do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. Off you go.
Actually, I would go a step further to challenge everybody who's listening to this.
Yes.
To stop and talk to at least one stranger today.
Yes, today and every day. At least one to start with. And it doesn't matter if you just turn around and you're in line at the supermarket waiting to pay for something. And you might just say, oh, I really love your coat.
Love it.
Yeah, something like that. And it just, it works. And you just feel better.
What a perfect story you've brought to the first podcast I'm creating.
Yes.
Right, 'cause
what makes it perfect?
Well, what makes it perfect is that, you know, I wanted to create this podcast to give a platform, give a place for people to share their story, to connect, right, with the rest of the world. Because I believe we all have a story.
Yes.
And we all have things that have gone horribly wrong. We've all had boring parts of our life. And we've all had these places of really incredible experiences. And it could be how we got out of that horrible spot, or it could be just something inspiring that happened. Like, whatever it is, I think we all have a story to share. And,
yeah.
And so I want to share that with the world. And I'll admit, there's some selfishness here too. I want to hear these stories.
Yes. It's just, and you know what? This is something that actually came up just yesterday for me. I was on a coaching call, and what came up for me, I was saying, you know what? Why would people be interested in my story, my own? Why would people want to hear about Sarah? And I look at my life, and yes, I've had my ups, I've had my downs, and to me, it's all part of life. And whatever I did to overcome the obstacles or to stand back up after I'd fallen, to me, very often it just looks and sounds like pretty normal, you know. I never had to deal like with, for example, serious abuse or the death or the loss of someone or serious diseases or things like that. And, you know, really bad and sad things that are out there. So I'm like, why would someone, you know, even be interested in that? And then the person I was talking to pointed out that to someone who might have gone through that kind of trauma, loss, whatever it is, heavy, heavy, heavy stuff in their life, to be in the presence and to listen to someone who's has light maybe and as passionate as I am, it might just be like, wow, because they want some of that lightness or some of that passion or something like that. So that made me think, and it's like, you know, the fact that we should never ever think, no matter how big or how small or how simple our story is, we should never ever think that no one is interested or that there isn't something to be learned from it. Or something that maybe it's not even about learning from it, but maybe it's about realizing, oh, wow, that happened to me too. Oh, I wasn't alone, or I'm not the only one, or there is so much that can open up.
I totally agree. And it could even just be as simple as, I really do have the strength or the power or the whatever it is to get out of the situation I'm in, to choose something different.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and choose to do something bold. Choose to live your life.
Yes.
It's hard for me not to think about a mentor of ours who passed away not long ago, Arch Shirk.
Yes.
And it's actually where I got the inspiration for the title of this. And actually, maybe we should back up is, you were challenged on your birthday to do selfies. I was challenged to do something inspiring with the world by you.
By me, yes. I remember that.
Yeah, thanks. And this podcast is something I've been procrastinating on for a year. And suddenly with having that challenge, I was reminded of art. And a phrase I learned from art, which is to make every breath count.
Yeah.
And if not now, when? Right?
So that was important to him.
It was very important. And
yes,
it's become important to me, which, you know, is exactly why, and all of this, the connection and everything else, I am really looking forward to having a co-host.
Yes. You are, yes.
which is probably the cue to say thank you.
Ta-da! Here I am, your co-host.
Exactly.
Yes.
So in our
which links to another thing that art taught us and that was important to art, and it's go do the things that scares you most.
Yeah.
Go where there's fear. Go face your fear and go do it, do something that you're afraid of. And this is a bit scary, you know? And all the saboteurs that can come to mind as to about a podcast, and would people understand me with my accent? Would I have something smart and intelligent to say? Am I gonna know when to talk? And, you know, what
if I look foolish?
yes. And so let's do something that is scary. Yes.
Yeah, and I too had some fear with this. Yeah, there's the stuff around, could I sound smart? Could I, you know, so on and so forth. But I also have a vocal condition known as spasmodic dysphonia, which could get worse one day, or it could stay exactly like it is. And so I've sat in judgment of myself going, I don't got the voice for this.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's move towards our fear.
Yes, which is it's another thing that then we all have in common, right? As we're talking about connections and stories, mm-hmm. Every single one of us out there has fears. And again, it's about choosing what we want to do with them and being a choice and living your life fully. Do you want your fears to rule you, or do you want to rule them and tell them where to go?
I want to tell them where to go.
Yes, you told me not to swear, so I'm being nice, you see.
How uncharacteristic.
I'm being, But yes, the fears, that's where they can go. We all understood where.
So
it's my favorite, little by little.
Yeah. Yeah, well, or jump right in front of them. Go get a selfie with a stranger at a gas station.
Correct. And then you realize, yeah, and when you do it once and it was so scary, then the second one is a little less scary, and then the third one a little less, and then it just becomes something that you enjoy doing, actually, and you realize it wasn't that scary at all.
Yeah. Yeah, and your fear is really just some big story you've made up.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah. I remember once for a while, actually, it was my cover photo as well. It's a picture that was taken under a bridge, and all along the wall of that bridge, it said, "Fear is a liar." And then the quote went on and it says, "Go call its bluff."
I love that.
Yeah. And this is, when you think about it, this is it. Fear is a liar. Call its bluff.
Yeah.
And it's our choice. We have to do it. And we have to understand that it's lying to us for whatever. And sometimes fear is there for good reasons, right? To keep us safe. So that we don't get hurt.
Yeah, but most times we're not facing tigers that are charging towards us.
Correct, exactly. So for me and in my life, it was always a question, moving country, changing job, ending a relationship, or, you know, and believing that another one, or believing in love again, the fear to love. And then you realize it's not the fear to love, it's the fear to get hurt again from love. And you know, I just don't care. I read something again the other day that was saying that it went something like this. Basically, it was the concept was that the pain of not trying and the hurt behind not trying is bigger than the pain when you actually try and fail or something, but at least you try it.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure in most cases when you try, you're going to learn something.
And something always.
Yeah, something will emerge from that.
And one of my biggest shifts, I think, in life, from feeling, I'm going to say, like a victim of my environment, my circumstances, and whatever was happening for me, like, and all of this is happening, and da, 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 to actually feeling empowered and feeling in charge is when I started realizing that everything was my choice. You know, leaving, staying, whatever it is, it was always my choice. There was never, ever been held at gunpoint with a gun in my head and forced to do something. And the other thing that really changed things for me is that all the bad things that happen, all the hurt, all the pain, all the tears, all the, you know, the betrayals, everything, there is a gift in each and every single one of those. There is something to learn. There is something that shaped me. There is something that made me who I am today. And so it's another one of those things where you say there is no winning and losing. There is winning and learning. Mm. And that's how I choose to look at it today. I never, ever lost. I don't lose. I learn. You fall and you learn. You get smack and you learn.
Yes. And
you need people to do that. You need to connect. You need to share. You need to be vulnerable. And the more you do it, the more you learn, the more you grow, the more you know what you want.
What a beautiful segue into what this podcast is all about, right? It's about winning and learning. It's about people who they've fallen and gotten up. It's like that saying of, you know, yes, I've fallen 7 times, but I've gotten up 8.
8, correct.
Right. It's all of those things. And it's in the power of the story that we're going to have people bring to this podcast with us.
True. And what I think it's important as well to understand, Mike, it's not that there are some people that fall 7 times and might choose to stay down. staying down or standing up an eight time, again, it's a choice.
Yes.
It's not someone else choosing it for you, but it's a choice. And you choose to stay there or you choose to stand up and try again. You choose to risk. You choose to put yourself out there again for whatever it is, a business, a relationship, a vacation even, whatever it is, you know. But you need to make the choice to go and try it again or do it again or stand up again and without thinking what if it goes wrong again, you know? It's like that other quote that is one of my absolute favorite, and it's in my profile picture somewhere else as well. It's the quote that says, "What if I fall?" And the reply is like, "Oh, but my darling, what if you fly?"
I love that quote. Yeah. That is so beautiful. So I am really looking forward to doing this podcast with you and flying.
Likewise. Flying and flying high.
Exactly. So as we do this podcast, there might be times it's just me, there might be times it's just Sarah, or there's going to be times where it's both of us with somebody.
Yes.
The consistent thing is we'll always be bringing stories and inspiration for flying, for getting up one more time, for living life at choice.
Yes. And that's why the name is Let's Go Fly a Kite, right? It's what is your kite in life at this moment? What is it that you choose to deepen, to work on, and to really look at it as a kite, and what do you need to build this kite and make it fly and soar high and shine and, you know, be a source of happiness and of joy.
There's something pretty special about kites and going kite flying, especially as a community.
Yes.
Right. To be with other people, to be out in a field on a nice summer day with the breeze blowing and kites up high with big tails, and there's something really free about that.
Yeah, and every kite looks different and flies differently based on who's the person flying it, and they're all personal, they're all individual, they all tell a story, they all carry a story, and they all create a beautiful big picture in the sky all together.
And you know what I just thought of? I used to fly a lot of kites when I was a kid, and every once in a while, they come crashing to the ground and one of the sticks breaks. Oh, well, just put a little tape on it and off it goes.
Exactly. And that's it doesn't have to be any more complicated than that in life. Yes, things will come crashing down on you. Sometimes they will slam you down like with a sledgehammer. But let's just put a Band-Aid, some scotch tape or some glue and...
Off we go.
Off we go. Off I go, fly my kite.
I love it. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
We'll talk again soon.
See you all very soon. Thank you.
This podcast is made possible by people like you who share their story. Thank you, Sarah, for sharing your story with us today. And of course, agreeing to be my co-host. Music used with permission by the composer and my friend, Robin Habermill. As performed by Top Pocket, that's the way it's always got to be.